The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the Jewish crowds, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I was just thinking and I was asking Deacon Mark, Paul's first letters when he was writing, because we hear about the one loaf today and his talking to the community. It appears, I don't know if it was the late 30s or early 40s when he started writing into the 50s before he died. But then John's gospel that we hear today, that wasn't written until the 90s or even later than that. Around 100. So that was, 70 years after Jesus died that John's gospel had been written. 70 years, that's a long time. So I was just thinking, this feast that we're celebrating today has a history to it that I want to talk about. Corpus Christi, it wasn't until the 13th century that the feast was established and put into the liturgical calendar. But how did it get there? Well, the early church, we know from Paul and from other sources that they were gathering at the temple. They went to the temple to pray. They were Jews. They went to the temple. But then when they listened to the scriptures being read, they reflected upon what Jesus said, and they were put in, and they felt Jesus' presence when they did their own table fellowship, that they would get together and they would read the scriptures. And they would reflect upon him, but they felt his presence and knew his presence there with them. And so the Eucharistic, the celebration that we have today is quite different than it was back then. They didn't have any kneelers. They didn't sit, kneel, stand, and all that during the celebration, what they did. They reflected upon scriptures. They broke bread together in Jesus' name, and they remembered. And I'll get to that. What did they remember? Because they were told to remember and do this in memory of me, right? Remember. So, that very simple meal, in a tradition of their Jewish faith. And then slowly it developed, of course, over the years. After Constantine, Emperor Constantine made Christianity the religion of the empire, things changed dramatically. Really dramatically. As far as the celebration of the Eucharist went. Now they had processions, they had candles, they had crosses, they had all kinds of things. And by the way, the cross itself, there was no corpus on the cross. There was no body on the cross until the 10th century. There's a history behind all of that as well. But what I want to get to is that, without going into details, is why did it take until the 13th century to have this celebration? When earlier times, people felt very close and intimate relationship with this sacrament. It was, after all, a shared meal reflective of the intimate Last Supper or the many suppers, not just the Last Supper, but the many suppers that Jesus shared with his friends. So they would even take home some fragment for consumption for the family during the week. And some even children would bring the sacred bread hidden on their persons to Christians who were in jail, because Christians were in jail quite a bit. But by the 13th century, all that history had been forgotten. By that time, the Eucharist was pretty much in a tabernacle, in its ornate tabernacle box. It had become so awesome and so remote mystery that something to be bowed to and approach with fear and trembling and receive very rarely. So the people felt that they were not worthy to receive, and they were told they were not worthy. Eventually, the Eucharist became something that was hidden inside the tabernacle, or it was to be looked at when the priest raised the host, as I'll do here at Mass, raised the host so that people could see the host. And so they would stop and they would ring a bell. They would ring bells because so people would look at the host. They didn't receive it. They just looked at it. So they weren't worthy to receive it. All this, of course, was a far cry from the generous and intimate fellowship meals that Jesus shared with the poor and the unworthy. So much so that we know that the Pharisees at the time, they accused and complained that he ate with publicans and he ate with sinners. You don't do that. It was a far cry from the Last Supper, where there was mostly fishermen present with their wives, I'm sure, and their children when Jesus broke bread and shared wine. So the bar for approaching Jesus was obviously pretty low. So centuries later, why were people staying away from the Eucharist? The church in the 13th century slowly began to realize this sad state of affairs in the church. And finally, they had to legislate that the faithful had to receive the Eucharist once a year. Most people think that the Easter duty is to, what? Go to confession. Most people think that's what it is. I got to go to confession once a year. No, your Easter duty is to receive communion once a year. That's how bad it was, at least once a year. So they created this feast. And they established other feasts as well, hopefully that people would come to the Eucharist and receive. So they established this as well as other feasts in the hopes that people would remember its meaning and Jesus' desire to be with them, to be near to them, to be part of them in every way. And so here we are today. We remember. We remember. And there's a lot to remember. A lot of things we could remember about the Eucharist. But I'd like to just focus briefly on two key words. One is unity, and the second one is mission, which was vital to Jesus' life. Both of those. Unity. In this regard, I want to call your attention to something that is quite unnoticed, but very profound, that happens during the Mass. Before the priest holds up the host in the chalice, along with the deacon present, would hold up the host, you'll see it down, and says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The priest, before he does that, breaks off a small piece of the host and drops it into the chalice. Why does he do that? It was a custom that goes back to the papal masses, when a piece of the host from the previous papal mass was placed in the chalice to signify continuity with the mass that went before it. And so also on Sundays and feast days, the Pope would send a small piece of the host that he had to the other churches in Rome. It was a gesture to signify unity, that they all ate the same Eucharistic meal. Think about that. All were united in a common faith. So if you happen to notice my dropping a little tiny piece of the host into the chalice, and I'll try to do it deliberately today, think what you're supposed to think and meant to think when you see it. That you are connected, we are connected with all those throughout the world who this day are celebrating the Eucharist, whether they're doing it openly in cathedrals and in churches or secretly at the perils of their life, in internment camps, in private homes. And this is happening more and more today as Christians are daily being severely persecuted in many lands. We are connected to one another through this Mass. We belong to something that is much, much larger than ourselves. We belong not only to this parish and to this diocese, but for all Christians and Catholics throughout the world. We are brothers and sisters to all those who take the bread today and break it and remember Jesus. We've been doing it for 2,000 years. Which brings me to the second one, and that is to remember. Mission is the second one. He says, do this in memory of me. Those are the words that are said aloud at every Mass. Do this in memory of me. So the question I have for you is, what should we do in his memory? What are we doing in his memory? Do it in memory of me. Well, of course, we are to meet and to celebrate this ancient rite, this ritual. But it goes a lot deeper than that. Much, much deeper than that. Remember the words that said before those words. Do this in memory of me. What are the words before it? This is my body given for you. This is my blood that is shed for you. Remember those words. That's what we should remember in Jesus' name. As he has given his body and blood to us and for us, we should give our body and blood for others in his memory. That's what we have to do. That is to say, we are to be people of justice and mercy and charity and forgiveness and sacrifice. That should characterize those who receive these gifts from Christ himself. My brothers and sisters, that's our mission as the body of Christ. That's what this church, this parish, Corpus Christi, is all about. To be sent out bearing gifts of faith and hope and love. So my brothers and sisters, the Eucharist is unity and mission. Unity says that we are connected to all throughout the world who celebrate this weekend. But we're also connected not only to the universal church, but to all people who have come before us and those who will come after us. We're connected in this rite. And mission says that like those who came before us with the message of faith and their message about Jesus, we are sent to share what we have celebrated. You are Christ in your little acre of land, of space that you occupy in this world right now. You are the Christ in this little acre, where you live and you breathe in. And you will hear me say, as I give out the Eucharist, not everybody says it, but I say, receive what you are. And then I say, the body of Christ. I didn't make that up. That comes from St. Augustine. And it's a long tradition in the church. That's who you are when you receive it. Happy feast day, Corpus Christi. You are not worthy to receive it. But the thing is, you are. We are and we aren't. It's by the grace of God.